get the green light on now. There we go. Proverbs 3, we've been looking at very familiar verses to many Christians. A lot of people have committed to memory Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and so forth. But what we're looking at is what it says in verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And then the following verses, verses 5 through 12, tell us how we can know that we are finding favor. Now, again, let me say very, very clearly that we are not talking about we need to do something as a Christian in order for God to look on us favorably. Because if we were in that shape, we'd be in trouble. That's not what we mean by this at all. We are under God's favor if we're in Christ. That is His beloved Son in whom He's well pleased. And so when He looks at us, He sees us only in His Son. Now, that's the spiritual dimension truth. And that's what we hang on to. Practically, in our day in and day out lives, we know that we can and do things that displease God or that please Him. Our salvation is not in question in that. But we also know that it's important for us to seek to live in such a way that we honor God and glorify Him and show the folks around us that we're seeking to be in obedience to Him. So I just want to make that clear that when I say finding favor with God and man, it's not that we're going to have some kind of contest to see who can do the best and God will like them better than us. Nothing like that. God cannot love you any more than He does, and He will not ever love you any less in His Son. So that's important for us to remember. Tonight, now, we're going to look at the third way in which we can find that favor before God and man. So let me just start reading again in verse 5, and I'll read down through verse 10 for tonight. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Ask God to bless the word to us tonight. So far what we've seen is in verses 5 and 6, we find favor before God and men by trusting in Him, reliance on God. When we rely on God and commit everything to Him, that's pleasing in His sight, and also it's a very good testimony to those around us when we trust the Lord. I remember a relative saying to me several years ago, I had just started preaching, and a family relative said something about, I just wish I had faith like you do. And I said, wait a minute. If you know the Lord, you've got the same faith I've got. And if you're seeing that something is lacking there, what you need to do is not worry about where I am, but just seek to trust God more. Don't just think about it. Don't just talk about it. Do it. When something comes up, especially difficult, trust God. Because really, that's the only place we have to go, folks. And so we need to remember that relying upon the Lord is a great testimony to His faithfulness, to His greatness and His power. Secondly, this was last week, we looked at that we can honor God and find favor before others by reverence of God. By reverence, verses 7 and 8. Don't be wise in your own eyes. And the key there then is fear, holy reverence for the Lord. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And we talked about how that's the way you depart from evil, is to fear the Lord. And by the same token, if you don't fear the Lord like you should, you probably won't depart from evil in every way that you would need to. So that's what we've seen so far. So thirdly then tonight, in verses 9 and 10 that I closed with here in the reading, we can honor God and should and have that testimony before others by obedience to God. So Reliance upon God, reverence for God, and obedience to God. Verses 9 and 10. Now, the word honor there in verse 9 is an interesting word from the Hebrew, and it connects with a word that's used, and you don't have to turn there if you want to just jot it down, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5. In Nehemiah 9, the Levites begin to praise the Lord and recount all his great works in calling Abraham and giving him a land and a people and those things. And they start off by saying, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God," to the people. And then they begin to pray. And they say, "Oh, may thy," and the Bible says, "glorious name be blessed above all blessing and praise." Well, that word there that we have translated as glorious is the same basic word here, honor. And here's the interesting thing about the word. In the Hebrew language, it literally means heaviness. Not like an object being heavy, but a weight of something. And of course, in this case, it's a weight of glory. And so, it's really saying, when it says honor the Lord, ascribe to the Lord, give unto the Lord praises, and acknowledge that his name is heavy with glory. It's weighted with glory. And so he says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, this obedience that is called for here is obviously in every area of life. Now, while here in these verses, it seems to kind of focus in on our personal wealth, our possessions, and certainly that's included, and it seems to be a material type blessing mostly, doesn't it, because of verse 10. Your barns will have all you need to eat. Your presses will burst out with new wine. You won't lack anything in needing sustenance. Well, certainly we can count on God to do that. We are taught, obviously, by the Lord Jesus in the disciples' prayer to say what? Give us this day our daily bread. And so it does have to do with that. But I want us to expand our thinking a little bit and realize that it doesn't end with our material possessions or the blessings that come from us honoring the Lord with that. However, that's a good starting place. And we've got to remember that God does require that we give unto Him as He has blessed us. And so, certainly that comes into the actual very tangible things you can put your hand on or your wallet on. Giving. Monetary giving, giving your tithes and offerings. Certainly that's included here. Giving to the needs of others. It may not be only a gift through the church, but sometimes it's a direct gift to someone who has a need. It's a direct gift to help with mission efforts. Whatever it may be. It may be just buying a coat for somebody that you know is going to be cold this winter and they can't afford a coat. So certainly monetary things are included in this, but that's not the whole picture. I don't want us to think that as long as we can sit down and say, I know I've given my tithes and offerings, so then I've obeyed the Lord completely in everything I need to do. No, you can give your tithes and offerings faithfully, and you ought to do that. And you must do that to prove that you really are God's, but you can still do that and be slack in some of the other areas where God calls for our obedience. So when it says honor the Lord with your substance, I want you to understand that that word is a very broad word. It is not limited to what you've got in your checking account or what you've got in your wallet. It's not limited to if you have two coats and you can give somebody one that needs it. All those are great. You ought to do those. But it's not limited to that. So we can't think we've satisfied obeying God by simply doing those things and nothing else. Remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? They kind of were in that mindset. They give their tithes of mint and dill and cumin, right? And what did he say? That's good. Law commands that. You're supposed to do that. But you've worried about doing that and left the other undone, right? And so we don't want to be in that category. And we certainly wouldn't find favor with God and man if we said, well, I give my tithe. That's all I ought to have to worry about doing. I can count myself obeying God in my life. Because I give my offerings. You do need to, but that's not the whole picture. So what does it include then? Well, first of all, to back up and put this in the right context in our thinking, Paul says a very amazing statement in 1 Corinthians 10:31. If we really think about it, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, I don't know how many times I know I don't regularly think about it, how many times we really approach anything in our life with a view to, I'm going to glorify God in this. That's my aim. If I can't glorify Him in this, I'm going to find something else that I can glorify Him in. If I don't see a way to do it in this, I probably don't need to have anything to do with it then. See? So honoring God has to begin with that mindset of, we want to do everything for His glory. Now, when we understand, at least to some degree, all that Christ has done and is doing and will do for us, then it makes it a little bit easier for us to think about things and say, can I glorify God in this? Now, that's something that down the line would be a good thing for us to go into, and as the Lord leads, we will. But in 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul gives several ways, not that verse, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians, the letter, back up. In the entire letter, he gives about four ways that we can know right from wrong in any situation. This is one of them. Chapter 10, verse 31. Ask the hard question about something. Does it glorify God? Can I glorify God in it? Now, that's as far as we'll go on that tonight, but at least that's something for us to begin to kind of think about. So when we talk about obeying God, walking in obedience, honoring the Lord, it has to start from a commitment that we have that we are seeking to honor and glorify His name in everything. Now, here's another thing that'll maybe help you. A lot of things we don't think about glorifying God in, we should and we could. One preacher that I follow quite often has said something to this effect. When I take a bite of a cheeseburger that's really good and the juice runs down my chin and I take a big swig of iced tea, I say, glory to God. And he's not joking when he says that. He uses it as a point. He says, you ought to glorify God in everything. That's what the Bible says. Glorify Him for that cheeseburger being there and you being able to eat it. Whatever the case is. And don't think that sounds silly, because it doesn't. It comes forth from a life that is so focused on giving glory to Him that we just, everything we see, we say, wow, I need to tell God thanks for that. I need to glorify Him for that. I need to praise Him for this. Now, once we do that, it will be easier. I'm not going to say easy. It will be easier for us to glorify Him in the things that we don't like and wish weren't happening to us. You see, you got to start out with a heart attitude and a mindset of glorifying God for those things that it's pretty easy to glorify Him for, because you like them. They're blessings. They do good to you. You keep doing that, and then when something comes around that's not good, at least in our definition, we don't like it, it's painful, it's hurtful, whatever, we're much more fit to glorify Him for that too. Because that's what we have to do, folks. When it says glorify God in everything that you do, that includes going through the difficult times and giving Him glory for that. So, again, we have to understand that obedience entails a whole lot more than simply making sure that we give offerings and attend church and those things that are very important. But we have to go beyond that. It has to be from the heart for God to begin to be pleased with it. Now, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thine increase. The barns being filled and the presses bursting out with new wine certainly can be taken materially. That is, we can think of it as, God makes sure I've got food on my table, I'm thankful. You know, He takes care of me. But let's think of it spiritually. Spiritually, the barns being filled, what do they fill with in that day? When Solomon is writing this, what do they fill with? Grain, right? To do what? Make bread, primarily. So the grain and the bread that follows from it, of course, is illustrated in the life and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the wine is as well. We just observed the Lord's Supper Sunday. And the bread and the wine are there to demonstrate the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. And so, if we take this in the spiritual understanding, then the Bible is saying, honor God in everything. with all that you possess, with all that you are, and you can count on it, the spiritual blessings will follow. You'll have plenty of good spiritual bread to feed on. You'll have the wine of the Spirit to drink and be filled with the Spirit. Those kind of things will happen. Now, let's go, and we've got just a little bit more time before we're going to stop for prayer. But let's go to chapter 8 quickly together. Proverbs 8. Now, if you've done any reading in Proverbs in general and study through the chapters in particular, then you probably know that there is much in the latter part, really from the middle to the end of chapter 8, although it's wisdom that is speaking, it has to be the wisdom of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many things here, and I won't take time to read them all tonight, but I would suggest that you do that, especially beginning in verse 17 and down through to the end of the chapter. There are so many things here that speak directly of Jesus in his time before he was incarnated and came to earth to take on flesh. What I want us to zero in on is just two verses. Look at verses 20 and 21. Now remember, again, we understand this to be Christ speaking. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to do what? How about that? To inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Our substance, listen now, our substance is first and foremost for the Christian, spiritual in nature. Now God, all of us had clothes to put on tonight that looked fine, looked nice. We all ate something, or we will when we get home, one or the other, or maybe both. We're all taken care of. Physically, outwardly, materially. We may not always have everything we want, but certainly God makes sure his people have what they need. And so we can't say that we're lacking in any way that has to do with our physical needs and so forth. But if that's all we focus on, then we are missing what God really wants us to see is the benefit, the benefits, plural, of being a Christian. That is spiritual substance, feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually in our minds and hearts, being strengthened by the Word of God, taught by the Bible, guided by the Holy Spirit, cleansed by the Word of God, forgiven of sins, and given strength to go through the most difficult circumstances as a Christian, strength that we never knew we could have. I mean, the list goes on and on, doesn't it? We would really never stop saying the things that are included in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. So when he says, I lead in the way of righteousness, that's Christ's guidance. He guides us. How? In the way of righteousness. And notice, in the midst of the paths of judgment. Now, what do you think that means? I lead in the way of righteousness. Okay, Lord, I'm following you. I'm walking in the way of righteousness. And he says, you're walking right in the middle of the paths of judgment. I think what it means is that we walk a path where no judgment comes on us. It's on the sides for everybody else that doesn't know Christ. We walk in the midst of the path of judgment, but the judgment was put on our Savior, not us, right? He paid it. He canceled the debt. And so I think that's what the Lord means here, is that I lead you in righteousness, and when you go through there, you can see judgment on either side. But as it says in Psalm 90, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you, right? Psalm 91, rather. And so our substance then, Christ guides, and then Christ gives to us. Verse 21. That I may cause those that love me, pay attention to that, right? That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, exactly what we're looking at in chapter 3, and I will fill their treasures. So here we have Christ guiding us in the path of righteousness, guiding us to follow Him, right? In the path of righteousness, as David said, for His name's sake, right? And so we follow Him. We walk through where judgment has been passed on our Savior, and it's a clear path for us. It's where the ransomed of the Lord walk. It is the highway of holiness. And we don't have to fear judgment because it's already been executed on our Lord. And He took it away. And then He says, so as you do that, I will cause you, an active word, I will cause you that love me to inherit substance, and I will fear their treasures. Folks, what we've got to realize is when we come to the place, and we need to come to the place, I do, where we realize how much we still lack in our love and devotion to Christ, in our knowledge of Him, when we come to the place where we've got more of a handle of that and we tell the Lord, Lord, I'm a long way from where I want to be. And I know I'm a long way from where I need to be, but I'm a long way from where I want to be even. When we come to that place, then we can realize that this promise is for us. He leads us in righteousness. We follow Him. We love Him. And we express that love by obeying Him. And as we do, then we inherit substantial things of the Spirit. Substantial spiritual blessings. In fact, He says, I'll fill their barn completely up. It'll be bursting at the seams with spiritual blessings. Most of us, most Christians, I feel safe in saying, live their lives after being saved and die, go to heaven, and never got to the complete percentage at any point of what God was willing to give them. Now, some have, I'm sure. I think the Apostle Paul did, but even he said, I hadn't already obtained, right? But most of us, because we're not concerned with pursuing the Lord like we should, then we don't get to take advantage of and reap the benefits of those spiritual blessings that Christ has for us. So it's no wonder that the least little thing can upset our apple cart, right? One little problem and we just throw up our hands. Hey, I do that. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? Well, the reason we do that most of the time is because we haven't spent enough time in communion with Him, meditating on Him through His Word, and knowing that we can trust Him, that He gives us substance, spiritual substance. Jesus told about how willing the Father is to give what is good to those who ask Him. There's two accounts of that. And in Matthew's account, it simply says this. Remember how Jesus says, how many of you, if you're a father and your son asks for a fish, he'll give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, he'll give him a scorpion. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? That's Matthew's account. But you lace that together with Luke's accounting of it. It's not a contradiction, it's a completion of the message. And there Jesus says, if you then being evil give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So I guess that's one of the things I'd want to leave us all with tonight to think about as Christians. We're so used to saying, well, I know when I got saved I got the Holy Spirit. You did. And He got you. And yet when Jesus says that, He's not talking to lost people that are needing to be saved. When He says, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, you'll get Him, He's talking to saved people. He's talking to His disciples. And He says, the Father will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask Him. And probably they didn't say it. We don't have it recorded, but they at least thought it. I thought I already had Him. If they said it, or even thought it, Jesus would have said, you do, and I say again, ask for Him. You see, we many times think that we got all of God at the initial moment of salvation, and there's nothing else to think about, nothing else to pray for, nothing else to seek from God at all. I mean, we're saved, that's all we need to know. And the Bible does not leave it like that. And Jesus there is telling us, there's more in store for you. You need to ask for the Holy Spirit, and you need to count and trust that God will give it, because He's not evil. He's the perfect parent, the perfect father. So if you ask him for that which is good, the Holy Spirit, he'll give him. That's what I'm talking about when I say this idea of substance has to be understood in the spiritual way. And that's why then in Proverbs, where we are, 3, it tells us that when we honor the Lord with the substance he was given us, we can just make a shorthand of this, okay? Let's just make a shorthand of it. Honor the Lord with the substance that he gave you, and guess what? He'll give you more. But if you don't honor him with what you have, he may still do it because he's gracious. I'm not going to say he won't. But we certainly could conclude he really wouldn't be beholden to give any more blessing if we're not already appreciating and taking hold of what we have, right? I remember a preacher saying one time that he had a lot of different evangelists come in and preach, kind of like the Bible conferences here and other preachers coming in. And he said one time, I just got up and told my folks one time, he said, look, y'all have heard so much good preaching, so much truth that you needed to hear. I'm not going to have another visiting preacher come in here for about a year because y'all need to start living up to what you already heard before you ever hear something else. And see, we're all like that. We need to start living up to what we've already heard. There's spiritual substance to be had from Christ. We need to seek that. Amen? Amen. All right. So we're going to go to prayer here momentarily, and let's pray that. You don't have to pray it out loud. I would love it if you do, if the Lord leads you to, but there's no pressure about that. But